When you lived in Detroit, you heard a speech by Cesar Chavez.
Oh, yes.
And he gave you some ideas. Tell us about that speech.
He said several things that served me well. He said, first, you have to believe in what you're doing. Then you have to be willing to pay whatever price is going to be extracted from you for acting on your beliefs. But in between those things, you have to have a well-thought-out strategy, and you need support. You need support not only from those who are with you, but those who you thought were not. And he said, no, that's not what I'm saying. What you need is that you need people who are privileged or powerful to support you, and you need to find some of those. Put it all together, he said, then you have to be willing to do it for the long haul. If you think this thing is going to end in a year or two, you're mistaken. You have to be willing to stay with it year in and year out. And then he said, good luck.
And we should point out that he obviously was an activist in California for better working conditions
for the migrant workers, yes.
Right, but his tactics you could use. And then you also met Rosa Parks.
Oh, gosh, you know, Rosa Parks lived not too far from where we lived in Detroit. When I was at the Urban League as director of community service, I was helping with block clubs. Block clubs were neighborhood organizations that were very big throughout the city. Most block clubs had neighborhood beautification contests, and I was one of the judges of a beautification contest. The other judge was a lady named Rosa Parks. Once again, I guess I'm a slow learner or no learner. I don't know. Maybe my teachers were correct. And after the judging, we sat down, and she introduced herself. She never told me that she was the Rosa Parks. But when I found out that it was the Rosa Parks, you talk about charisma. There's a kind of quiet, unassuming charisma that's more regal, more attention-getting. That's what I got in the presence of Rosa. While she said she was involved in what was going on in the civil rights movement in the South, she didn't say, this is what I did. She said, this is what needed to happen.
And you were meeting her in the 60s.
Yes.
And she, in 1955, in Montgomery, Alabama, decided she did not want to move to the back of the bus.
She wasn't the first one to do that. But she was the one that was selected because of her temperament. Once again, we're back to Prentice Galt, Jackie Robinson kind of things. She was the one that the Southern Christian Leadership Conference decided that they were going to push as the role model for this activity because of her temperament.
Oh, so that day, she wasn't really on her own.
No, she was involved with civil rights.
So they all knew that Rosa is going to do something special on this day.
Yes.
And then it exploded into national headlines all across the nation.
The press doesn't get this just accidentally. Someone has to tip them off.
This is going to happen.
This is going to happen.
But she was just that sweet-spirited lady.
Yes.
Who didn't come in here and say, I'm the bus ride lady, and this is what I did.
And the truth of the matter is, she was tired of moving, but she was also, most people don't give her credit, she was also very actively involved in civil rights issues before the act itself.